love
not
typing.
Not mess with my Google Docs, Meeksy. Supergirl Radio is going live every night of the week. How do you like it? Is becoming a human burrito a plus or a minus? I don't know. It does seem snug.
I mean, they say you are what you eat.
Cheer up.
I love that.
So I do a podcast called Supergirl Radio, and one of our segments is Lena Luthor, boardroom or ballroom. Because
she looks like a boss in this coat.
Nasty Luther, like a different Luther? It's not just Lena being mean?
No.
Helen Slater here. So fun to know that you're hosting a podcast called Supergirl Radio.
Welcome to Supergirl Radio, your source for all things related to the character of Kara Zor-El. My name is Rebecca Johnson.
I'm Morgan Glennon.
And we are live and wired on the DC TV Podcast YouTube channel and the Supergirl Radio Facebook page to discuss and review the Tomorrowverse animated movie, Green Lantern, Beware My Power. Now, if you are a longtime listener of Supergirl Radio, you will know that Morgan does not care for Green Lantern. And we will see if that changes as we discuss the movie. So I apologize in advance, Morgan, that we are watching another Green Lantern movie.
I feel like I'm just being worn down. It's like, oh, you like Green Lantern? Would you like some Green Lantern or Green Lantern? A little extra Green Lantern. It's like, okay, maybe this will be the one that cracks it for me.
I, on the other hand, love Green Lantern. So I think that balances the podcast out. So I'm really trying to win you
over. Like opposite sides of the scale.
So I'm trying to get you there to loving Green Lantern. That is my goal, but we'll see. We'll be objective. If you still don't care for Green Lantern after this, that's totally fine. I just hope we can sway you in some way. Okay. Well, we, as far as I know, don't have any news this week. So I guess let's just get into it because of StreamYard's hate of my side of the stream, we will need to get through this a little quicker anyway. So let's get into the discussion of the movie. So I pulled this description from YouTube because YouTube has all the best descriptions, in my opinion. The IMDb description is not great, and this movie, frustratingly, is not on Max for some reason.
No, it's not. No, that was a fun discovery that we both made as we were talking about doing this movie. We were like, oh, of course, but of course it would be on Max where all the DC content is. No. No, it's not.
No, it doesn't make sense to put it there because it's the Tomorrowverse in ramping up to the Crisis on Infinite Earths, three-part series of movies. Doesn't make any sense to put that there so that people can get caught up on Crisis. Strategically, that would be a bad move, I guess.
You just can't have that. We don't want that.
We don't want to make people excited about a thing that we have coming out. So, yeah, so this was not on Max for some reason, but I pulled a description from YouTube that reads, quote, in this thrilling DC Universe movie, Earth's latest Green Lantern will rise. Or maybe I should say that with an up inflection, will rise. Ooh. When a power ring is bestowed upon former Marine John Stewart, it leads him on a life-changing mission. With Justice League member Green Arrow and Thanagarian. They've said it a couple of different ways, I feel like, in this movie.
They did. They couldn't quite decide. It was a, oh my gosh, what was the name of Martian Manhunter's grandfather?
Mirren.
Yeah, it was, yes. It was a real Mirren Mirren situation that we had to deal with.
Also with Ran and Ron. They couldn't decide they wanted to say that either. But in any case, with Justice League member Green Arrow and Hawkgirl by his side, Stewart is thrown into a complicated galactic war with shocking origins and catastrophic consequences. It's a trial by fire for the inexperienced Lantern as he battles deadly enemies like Sinestro. But a much darker secret will be the true test of this Green Lantern's strength. So, Morgan, I guess, like, just right out of the gate, was this the Green Lantern movie to, of all Green Lantern movies, to change your mind and win you over to Green Lantern?
Wouldn't it have been wild if it was?
No! It would have been wild.
What would it have been crazy if this was the one that finally got me? The one where they kind of kill him. It's like, it turns out I just didn't care for Hal Jordan. It was fine. I feel like I came out of it with sort of the same opinion of Green Lantern, which is that, like, I get why people like him. I just still don't care for him. You know, it's all the green stuff and, like, the big green car, green energy car he tries to, he uses to almost kill Hawk Girl. And I was like, this is a lot, isn't it? Green Lantern's just too flashy for me.
So the constructs are a little too much.
The constructs are a little bit much. Although I will say, as somebody who has, like, again, no emotional investment in Green Lantern pretty much at all, I was like, really, they're going to kill all the Green Lanterns and they're going to, like, take out Oa? Like, that's not cool. I like the one thing I do like about Green Lantern is when he goes to visit the Green Lantern planet and there's always, like, a cute little, like creature Green Lantern.
Yeah, Chip, I believe. Chip. There's a coral Green Lantern.
Yeah, there's all kinds of weird ones. There's, like, a big head guy, and then there's another guy who's, like, kind of big and long, and then there's always, like, little creatures you can see in the background. And I was like, let me know their stories.
So if we got a Chip origin story.
A Chip origin story, I'm there. I'm there 100%. I feel like it's like, listen. You're trying to, this movie's trying to win me over. That's its purpose, obviously. And killing all the fun creatures on the planet, it's not doing it for me. It's just not doing it.
That is fair. Going into this, like, oh no, they killed all the Green Lanterns and two of them went evil. So why should I care about Green Lantern?
I know. It's like, so rough. I started to see the Hal Jordan thing coming. Much before it actually revealed itself, I was just like, it's killing a lot of people. That doesn't seem like a good sign, especially since, like, the whole movie it was like, don't kill that person, don't, killing is bad. And I was like, it feels like the movie wants me to maybe think something about Hal Jordan continuing to kill people. And I feel like it's not good for Hal Jordan is the thing. But yeah, a real out there move to make Hal Jordan essentially the villain in this one. I mean, he was turned evil, but still he was evil. And then he dies. They had the Green Arrow kills him. All these spoiler alert, obviously.
Yes. But don't listen or watch this
if you haven't watched this one. Yeah. I was surprised. I was like, oh, that's a bold choice to make in a Green Lantern show. I know that John Stewart was sort of the Green Lantern entry point character in this one, and is clearly the Green Lantern now. Not a lot of competition, is there?
restart all of them.
Not even Chip.
He's got to find another space alien creature to be a Green Lantern for one of the sectors.
Yeah, but it just felt weird to, like, kill off Hal Jordan like that. I was like, oh, that's rough in a Green Lantern movie. You think that the people coming into this movie would be pretty psyched to see Hal Jordan. So... kind of disappointing at the end for them.
Yeah, Green Lantern, Green Lantern Hal Jordan was considered to be the greatest of all. The greatest.
His statue was so much bigger than everybody else's. And I was like, I could buy a scenario in which all of Oa kind of turns on him. They're like, listen, Hal, you're not that great. Morgan doesn't even care for you. And she's watched a lot of your films. But no, that's not how it went.
No, it was the other way around, actually. Hal and Sinestro sort of, I guess in tandem, are the ones who kill Oa. It sort of seems like it was the Yellow Lanterns, but Hal was the mastermind of... and the master planner, I guess, of all of the things.
There's also sort of a weird moment later on in the movie that I wanted to ask you about where... one of the yellow lanterns gets killed and then like turns into a, like a cute little alien creature. Like he goes from his big sort of appearance into a smaller appearance. And I was like, what does that mean? And it was sort of never touched upon again. So I wasn't sure what I was supposed to take from that. But I was like, oh, the alien guy. And it looked like the alien guy from the beginning of the movie, too.
The,
and
the
I was
blue like, guardian.
Yeah, the blue guardian guy. I was like, I love that guy. He's really cute. and so I was like, wait, is it like, did they corrupt the guardians? Is that what I'm supposed to have pulled from that? Do I just not have enough Green Lantern knowledge to have, like, you know, understood the impact of that moment?
I hate to disappoint you, but I do not have an answer for you. Live chat, if you know the answer for Morgan, please let us know.
I was confused.
Yes.
It felt like it didn't need to happen. And because it did happen, I was supposed to take something from it. But I had no idea what I was supposed to be taking from it. I was just like, so now he's small.
Good question. Good catch. I guess in my two viewings of this, that's sort of like
two.
well, it was like kind of one and a half. I tried to get through the second viewing pretty quickly. So I guess I missed that part. So I'll have to go back and look at it and see if I can find an answer for you. But if anybody has it in the live chat, we would love to hear it. Now, I personally did like the storyline of there seemed to be a theme of lethal force is not authorized. That's what the power ring tells John Stewart when he is kind of almost killing a Hawkgirl. He gets really close and the ring tells him lethal force is not authorized. So when that was said in the movie, that was kind of a signal to me that that was an important thing that was going to be happening throughout the film. And it actually, I thought there was a lot of through lines through it that connected to different characters, which I really liked. You know, I like to read a little deeper into some of these movies. Maybe they're not intentionally wanting me to do that. I don't know. But I did see a lot of connections where Jon Stewart has the opportunity to kill Despero, which we've seen on the Arrowverse with the Flash, I believe. But he chooses not to kill Despero. Jon Stewart kills Sinestro by summoning the power ring through Sinestro's back, which really the power ring killed Sinestro, I feel like, which feels appropriate. Hal kills Sardath. And so I think that sort of plays into, you know, Hal Jordan and the Parallax situation where Hal doesn't really mind killing people when it's necessary. Jon Stewart also had the opportunity to kill Hal Jordan by stabbing him, which was kind of like the beginning of the movie where the attacker in his military past tries to stab Jon Stewart and does. He stabs him through his hand.
Yeah, I think both times that happens.
Yeah, which was never quite addressed just at the beginning. It was just kind of like it was there. You see a scar on his hand. I kind of feel like that was a missed opportunity to make a more like a bigger deal of that, for, you know, to have him have a scar that needed healing or something. I don't know. But those two scenarios were very similar, which I liked from the beginning and the end. And then obviously Green Arrow ends up having to kill his best friend, Hal Jordan, in order to save Jon Stewart's life. So I liked the idea of this lethal force is not authorized storytelling theme that was going through the movie. I don't know exactly what to make of it because the power ring doesn't tell them that lethal force is bad. Just says it's not authorized.
Just not authorized.
You don't have to go. You have to go through paperwork. I guess.
And the power ring was also not stopping him from crushing Hawkgirl to death. It was just like, you know, you're not supposed to do this.
You haven't filled out the proper paperwork. You haven't gotten the approval from the Guardians for this.
Like, without the power ring, Jon Stewart is like just a cool guy, just sort of a cool dude. But he's not going to be able to like do all the stuff that he's doing. So it feels like in a lot of ways, the power ring is really in control of this situation. And it's like, oh, I'm sorry, power ring. Did you not want me to kill her? You're the one doing it. Like, why don't you stop then? Power ring. I feel like the power ring is really just shifting responsibility.
Okay. Would you watch a Green Lantern movie that was just from the perspective of the power ring?
Absolutely, yes. Absolutely, yes. The power ring is like the buck stops somewhere else, not with me, the power ring. The power ring is like, I'm just baby. I can't be held responsible.
I feel like we should write that movie.
I would watch that movie. I think that would be great. It's just like the power ring, just kind of sitting on the nightstand like, I hope he takes me out today. I never get a thank you.
So, yes, the power ring. This was the first time I'd seen a Green Lantern thing where the ring talked to him.
Yeah, I was going to also
surprised by it
again because I don't have a deep background in Green Lantern, so I am kind of the ideal audience member where I just go along with everything. Sure, the ring talks, cool. But I also didn't remember it ever having done that in other stuff that we've watched with Green Lantern. And I was going to ask you, is the ring being like a weird GPS? Is that like a normal thing?
Well, the ring can do all kinds of things. So I wasn't really surprised by the GPS part of it. The talking, though, was surprising to me.
Like the ring being like, hey, what's up?
You need to call me ring. You need to address me by my formal name.
Excuse me. Mr. Ring is my father. The ring's not a formal guy, you know?
The ring really wanted to establish that very quickly on how John Stewart should address it.
Actually, it's Ring.
Gotta set those rules early.
Gotta set those boundaries, you know?
Well, the Hal Jordan thing, I just wanted to, before we close on the Hal Jordan killing lethal force is not authorized situation, we have actually addressed that before on Supergirl Radio. I don't know if you remembered it, but this is a storyline from the comics where Hal Jordan is infected by Parallax. And he has all of the rings on his fingers and he goes a little crazy. And
that's right. I remember this cover because it's really funny.
It's supposed to be creepy and scary, but it's actually kind of hilarious. He's
smiling crazy. Like, I feel like in like a different time, this cover would have become a meme of some kind.
Well, it may be a meme, I think. Maybe we'll have to.
I hope it is. If it's not, we need to start this as a trend.
Yeah, this is from Green Lantern Volume 3, number 40. So this was actually a comic book story that they have sort of semi-adapted for this Beware My Power movie. So I was actually glad to see that. I was like, they've used the famous cover of him with all those rings.
He had all the rings. Mm-hmm. He was ready. I see some great comments in the chat that I'm just going to surface about the ring. Mind the Gap says, Grant Morrison wrote a good story about Hal Jordan stranded on an alien world with a beautiful alien woman. And it turns out at the end, it's his ring. He kisses it on the last page.
Wait, hold on.
Really funny.
Is it okay? So let me make sure I'm understanding this.
I'm not 100% clear either, but I do love where this is going.
So the ring becomes a woman.
It seems that way, yeah.
Huh.
A beautiful woman. Also named Ring, I guess. And and I guess they have like a little romance, and at the end. When he kisses it, is he kissing the beautiful alien woman or is he kissing the ring when it's turned back into a ring?
It's like the Frog Prince or something.
I feel like both are weird. One is weirder. Kissing, just being like, I'll miss you, honey, mwah, to the ring is very funny.
This doesn't surprise me that Grant Morrison wrote this story because that guy's done a lot of drugs. So and I'm not like talking out of turn. He talks about that in interviews about how he does a lot of drugs. So that actually doesn't surprise me. Grant Morrison's stories are notoriously very strange.
Inspiration can come from anywhere. I also saw Brian in the chat said there was a Tales of the Green Lantern Corps backup story where the Green Lantern ring was responsible for raising a baby who was the last one of his species. So the ring has lived a full life, is what we're the ring has experienced love and parenthood.
Just all the steps of
all the steps of life.
I feel like we need to do a separate podcast where we just read all the stories.
How does the ring raise a baby? That's my question. Does it just like do the like the Green Lantern thing and then it's like rocking it with like just giant green hands?
Oh my gosh, that would be amazing.
Just making green rattles and like over top of the babies.
So the power ring on its own volition is making constructs in order to raise and take care of this baby.
Just like turning it into like one of those swings and swinging the baby back and forth. And I mean, yeah, I would read that for sure. I'd also watch that as a movie.
I'm going to see. This is how we get you to love Green Lantern.
Yes. Like Green Lantern, the ring is raising a baby. The ring is a single mom who works two jobs.
What if it was like a three ring and a baby?
Yes. Like, oh my God. Three rings and a baby is definitely a Green Lantern movie that I would be first in line to go see. I would buy those tickets ahead of time. I would be seated.
Okay. Well, we are going to revisit this. I'm going to have to look that up.
Mind the Gap does clarify because we did ask a very important question. Did he kiss the beautiful alien woman or the ring? It is the weirder option. He does kiss the ring. He says it's the Green Lantern number 7. So okay, anyone who's interested in this story, as I am, I need to know so many more details. We can look it up.
All right. We are going to have to do some research into these Green Lantern ring stories because this sounds amazing. So we have found a way into getting Morgan to love Green Lantern. We just need a way to explore it a little more.
If it was just a story about an anthropomorphic ring, I would be so in.
Green Lantern himself doesn't need to show up. Just
Hal Jordan, John Stewart. The ring, though. There I am.
So what did you think about this story? And I ask because it took me two wish washes to really fully understand the plot. And I was wondering, and I don't even know if I fully understand the plot. So did you have any, I was just curious. Did you, when you watched it, were you like totally in on what was happening or did you struggle with it a little bit?
I struggled with it. I felt like I needed a Venn diagram to understand the war between the Thanagarians and the
Rannians or the Ronians.
The Rannians or the Ronians. I knew that they didn't like each other. I got that much.
And we knew that from the Adam Strange short that we watched.
Which I'm glad we watched that because Adam Strange was all over this movie. I was not expecting that short to have played such an important role in me understanding this movie. And you think that the short would have been like more readily available or easy to find, considering how important he is to this one. But it wasn't. That's not the way that they chose to go by making it easy to watch on HBO Max. They could have even like packaged it together with this movie as like a little pre-show thing or something. Like, I don't know. It just
that,
seems like,
that would have made sense.
Or like a special feature. Like sometimes when you go over on the streaming platforms and they'll be like extras.
Like yeah, they could have like a trailer or something.
Yeah, they could have put it in the extras. Like, hey, you might want to watch this first. Because he pops up about less than halfway, like pretty early in the movie. And then he plays a really big role. So I was glad that we watched that Adam Strange short. But yeah, I was overall struggling to understand the war between those two races or those two peoples. And I do feel like a lot of the movie hinged on this conflict, but they explained it, but I struggled to follow it because they were like, this thing happened and then that thing happened. And then there was like an experiment that went awry and that caused a a lot of the Thanagarians to die, and that their planet got transferred, and then that caused a lot of the Iranians to die and like have all these, you know, climate disasters. And I was like, but they're like, but that's not even, that wasn't the start of the conflict. I was like, what? That's so true.
Yes.
I was like, for efficiency's sake, should it maybe have been the start of the conflict? It's like, you know, no one's going into like a 90-minute movie being like, I hope we go through like hundreds of years of conflict between two alien races. Like, no, you can edit, you can abbreviate a little bit. So yeah, it felt like I should have known, like, I felt like I should have known that these people were angry at each other and like why, but it was never fully explained. And I finally by the end like understood like the experiment portion of it, I think. But I never really understood that they were like, they had been mad at each other before.
Yeah. So I guess I think you make up a great point about how the start of the conflict didn't end up being the start of the conflict, and it like went back into something else. That was also, I will say, I was confused by
they
that.
Were like, we just achieved peace when we tried this experiment, and I was, they're like, from the previous conflict, but they never even tell you what the previous conflict was about. So it's like, I guess these people just like are in a constant state of hating or not hating each other, and you're just kind of supposed to roll with it.
Yeah, and I was also confused, and I think I figured it out by the end, but there was a lot of confusion about who killed everybody on Oa. So Hawk Girl's like, yeah, it's definitely the Ranians or the Ronians. And then Adam Strange is like, no, it couldn't be the Ronians, because they love Oa and they love those little blue guardian guys. That couldn't be the case. And so there was a lot of confusion about like, oh, well, there were disguised ships that were supposed to be, you know, those other people. And so they could have just said, oh, it was Sinestro.
Yeah.
Like, simplify that. I don't need to know about the disguised ships and the misunderstandings of the thing. Just figure out that it's Sinestro. That's what I need to know, right? So
yeah, I feel like a lot of the plot was like layers upon layers of misdirection about a conflict that me as a viewer wasn't that involved in. Like, I wasn't that cued in on like the conflict between the you know, the Hawk people and Adam Strange's bros. And so I was just like, okay, like whatever they're mad about, I'm down. Like, okay, they're fighting. That's sort of the important thing that I need to know. But they're like, ah, but what are they fighting about? And I was like, I mean, I guess you can tell me. I don't, it's not going to make like a material difference to me, because this is all kind of new to me. And they're like, oh, a revelation. And I was like, okay. It just felt like every time thing that they kept trying to build in, but there's a twist. And I was like, there don't need to be this many twists though.
Yeah.
There's so many of them.
The thing with the experiment going bad, help me clarify some of this. So Hal Jordan, as Parallax, intentionally botches the experiment.
Okay, so this is a thing I don't understand. I'm not sure I 100% understand. Did Hal Jordan do anything to the experiment, or was that Sinestro? I kind of thought that was Sinestro, and Hal Jordan doesn't go bad until after the experiment goes wrong, where he's on the planet. And Sinestro goes to like confront him, and he throws his ring up into the air, and he's like, fly free, little buddy. And it like flies off. And then he's naked.
It goes to live on an island where it meets a beautiful alien woman and raises three
beautiful children. And then the ring takes out like a little thing, a little wallet full of photos, and starts showing you like tiny little rings. And then like the ring's getting bigger.
I didn't think about the babies being rings.
The babies are definitely rings. I'm sorry. It's like a small, like it starts out with a small mood ring, and then it gets bigger. Then it's finally one of those green, full scale Green Lantern rings. It's like, ah, you're as big as your paw now.
Okay, basically this whole episode of the podcast is just us pitching stories about the ring and his family.
I really want to see like fan art of like the ring and his three beautiful children on like an island, and like they're all just rings, but they're like sitting on beach chairs and they have like little sunglasses on. One of the little baby rings has like one of those little baby hats, you know, that they put on the baby's heads to keep the sun off. I just, if anybody has artistic ability and is bored, I would love that. You could just send that right over.
So I guess to take it back to the story, the actual story that happened in the movie. I couldn't determine if this was like an unreliable narrator situation where Hal was like misdirecting them to say, oh no, this was all Sinestro, because he tried to play the good guy for a little while.
He did.
And so I think he wanted people to think it was Sinestro, that he had gone crazy, was doing all this stuff. Cause I don't know if that was the case. And then like Hal was the one who actually did it. Cause I feel like it said both of those things in the movie.
I was also back and forth about who messed up the experiment, whether it was Sinestro or Hal. I think it's Sinestro only because it seems like Hal went bad after Sinestro, like, I don't know, put like a little...
Infected him with the parallax.
Infected him, yeah, with the parallax thing. And that happened after the experiment went awry, because he's on the surface of the planet. I think. But honestly... You could make a good argument for the other side, and I would like immediately like I'd be like, oh, that makes sense too.
Yeah,
I thought it was a little bit. I mean, they explained it, but I had a hard time following it.
I really liked this movie. I thought it was actually a pretty good Green Lantern movie in terms of setting up the character of John Stewart and his journey to becoming a Green Lantern. And I liked the adventure that it took me on. But for a large portion of it, I was very confused about what was happening. And I just wish that it had maybe found a better way to make that more understandable. Now, it could be user error. I could have been... asleep or something. I don't know. That could definitely be on me. I wouldn't put it past me. But I feel like it had a lot going on. Now, towards the end of it, I understood the Hal going bad, the parallax thing. I understood all of that. I understood that Hal, I understand this, but correct me if I'm wrong. Did Hal want to use the Zeta Beam to cause Thanagar and Ron to fight each other in order to somehow achieve peace? I wasn't real clear
I wasn't clear on the motive either.
Because it seemed like Parallax, even in his god mode, that he, you know, felt like he was all powerful, he still seemed like he had this like compassionate, like I can be the best Green Lantern there's ever been by actually achieving peace. But I wasn't real clear on how he was going to accomplish that.
Yeah, it felt like they were trying to do one of those like Thanos is actually trying to help the world by getting rid of half of the population. Well,
sure, yeah.
Like one of those, like the villain thinks that he's doing the right thing, but like I understood Thanos's motivation. That's sort of a key part of it. Whereas I was like, okay, I see that you're doing this and this evil thing. And how do you think that's going to help? Though I you haven't connected those puzzle pieces for me, the viewer, at all. So I'm just like, oh, he's evil.
Yeah, I think this also kind of reminds me of Watchmen with Ozymandias. Ozymandias. I don't know. A lot of people say it very differently, but he kind of has that same thing where he's like, I've got to release this thing in order to save the world and bring people together, I guess. But
I feel like
I didn't really get that.
I feel like at least with Watchmen, they kind of explained his thought process, like whether or not you would like agree, like, I don't know if that would work. But like his thought process was like, oh, people come together in the face of a threat. So if the threat isn't other people, if the threat is some like, you know, alien coming down, everybody will band together,
right,
and stop attacking each other and start attacking them. Like I got that. Like this one I was like, okay, so you've got the Thanagarians and the Iranians fighting each other. And this is going to help in your mind. How? And I don't feel like he ever really... I feel like if you're trying to create that kind of character who is evil, but thinks that he's being evil for a higher purpose, you need to kind of clarify what in his mind is the higher purpose, even if it doesn't make a ton of sense to like the heroes, or even if you're like, oh, that's clearly like a terrible idea. You need to kind of clarify that. And I didn't get that from the movie. And I also missed it, but I wasn't really clear on his motivations.
I sort of assumed it was like a Watchmen scenario, but mm-hmm. I don't really think they made a really good effort in getting there. And I also thought with, since we're talking about evil Hal Jordan with all the rings, and I have a Green Lantern ring, but I was going to wear it. And then I was like, dummy, you're sitting in front of a green screen. Nobody's going to be able to see it. So
you can put a little pair of sunglasses on the ring.
So I couldn't wear my Green Lantern ring, but Hal Jordan calls himself a god several times, I think at least twice. And I thought the writing could have gone somewhere with that. I thought that could have been a really interesting idea, that he's this human man who then becomes a Green Lantern and then considers himself to be a god. But they never really seemed interested in following up on that or exploring what that would mean for him. So I don't know if that is connected to the idea that maybe he forces these two peoples to fight each other in order to achieve this end. And maybe in that way, he thinks he's a god because he's manipulating events and making these things happen. I don't know. I was very lost in the plot for part of it. I really liked the characters and the character relationships and how they got from the arc of like Green Arrow not really liking Jon Stewart at the end and then becoming friends at the end. I thought that was really good. I thought the hot girl stuff was really good. I even thought the Adam Strange portion was good, even though I kind of maybe didn't understand some of that either. But the plot sort of lost me in some ways. But I thought for most of it, I thought it was good. So I guess since we talked about some of these characters, I am curious, what did you think of Hawk Girl?
Hawk Girl! I was excited to see her. Obviously, Hawk Girl and I go way back to her Brista days. but she was a cast member on the first season of Legends of Tomorrow. So I know Hawk Girl well in that one specific context and really no other context. But I really liked seeing her in this movie. I wasn't expecting to. And when she popped up, I was like, wait, Hawk Girl? And then I wasn't sure because, you know, we've seen Thanagarians like pop up in this movie series before. So I was like, don't get your heart set on it being Hawk Girl. It might not be Hawk Girl. But then I did that because I had to rent it on Amazon. So I did that X-ray thing and it was like Hawk Girl. And I was like, yeah, it is Hawk Girl. but I liked her a lot in this. She was real mean. I thought that was fun.
She threatened to kill people if they insulted her.
She wants to kill. She was ready to, unlike everybody else that was like, killing is bad. She's like, is it?
Lethal force for her was authorized.
It was. She was going to kill anyone and everyone. Every time that somebody was about to kill someone, she was like, I don't see what the big deal is. And I was like, oh, girl, you're brutal. I thought she was really fun. And I thought she was a fun contrast to the story that they were telling about, you know, pulling yourself back and making the right choice. And then you got a Hawk Girl, like just trying to smash people's heads in with her giant, giant club. Hawk Girl wasn't concerned at all. She's like, I'm not. Yeah. You think about the morality of these things. I'm going to get things done. And I was like, classic Hawk Girl. Although, you know, she was not like that at all in Legends of Tomorrow. But I thought this kind of mean, really abrupt version of Hawk Girl was like really fun contrast to the other characters in this one. And I especially liked it as they brought in Adam Strange and their people are at war, to have these two characters kind of get to know each other throughout the course of the movie. I thought that was really fun in terms of like the character dynamics and how they kind of came around to each other. And then like eventually they're like working at the computer together and you're like, oh, look at them. They're working together. I was like, oh, that's nice. I'm surprised Hawkgirl didn't try to kill him.
I thought that dynamic, even though I didn't fully understand the Thanagarian Ronian situation, I did think that that relationship between Hawkgirl and Adam Strange really worked for the story, that they battled it out and tried to kill each other at one point, and then they came around and realized that they both had to work together to find out what was really happening. I thought that was a great character arc and journey for both of those characters. So Mind the Gap says Justice League, the animated series basically made up a relationship between John Stewart and Hawkgirl. Some writers keep trying to revisit it, but it only really worked on that show because of what they had been through. Yeah, I think this movie seemed to hint at maybe something between them by the end of it, but they didn't really go for that, I think, in this movie. Maybe it could be developed in future Tomorrowverse movies, maybe Crisis Part 2 or 3. They've got those left. But I don't think that it was really, if they were teasing it here in this movie, it wasn't really full on. It was just John Stewart had made some new friends, and so maybe he'll see them in the future. So I did like Hawkgirl in this one. I thought she had a real personality, and she was not suffering fools. And I thought it was great that she ended up being able to work with them. I did want to address a question in the chat just real quick. Rachel asked, does Morgan still hate Green Lantern? Now, Morgan never said hate.
I never said hate. I don't care for Green Lantern.
Yes, we need to clarify. That's an important clarification.
It's different.
Yes. Rachel, definitely go back to the beginning of the discussion. There's a delightful conversation about the Power Ring. So you definitely need to go and check that out in order to find the answer to that question. No spoilers for you. Okay, so in terms of the other characters, I guess we didn't really talk a lot about Green Arrow. What did you think about this take on Green Arrow?
Yeah, I liked Green Arrow in this. I thought he was really fun. He was like a really fun contrast to the other characters that were a lot more serious. Green Arrow, it was a little bit more lighthearted. Like he was kind of the one who was going to crack a joke in the situation. And I thought it was funny that the Justice League was like, you handle it. You handle it, Ollie. He's like, what? Like, poor Oliver. They're like, you are our go-to Green Lantern stuff guy. You're his friend, right? You deal with this. You deal with this. He's not answering our calls, Oliver. So.
You know all about the Power Ring, Green Arrow. So you.
I
need
still
to
think it's really
it.
Funny that in this version of the Justice League, Vixen is such a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's just sort of all in there. I was like, oh, every time I'm just like, oh, right, Vixen. Hey, what's up, girl? Like, again, excited to see her. But also always a little bit confused. Like, oh, okay, not Wonder Woman. It's Vixen here.
Well, they do say in the movie that Superman and Wonder Woman and Batman are somehow missing.
Superman
and Wonder Woman are going to be back in like a week, I think is what they said. And then Batman is just kind of MIA. Nobody knows where he is. So I don't know.
Concerning.
I don't know if that's like a tease to the next movie that we're going to watch. I don't know.
But
that is what they say. So some of the members of the Justice League in the Watchtower, when John Stewart happens upon there, they're kind of just there in the Trinity's absence, trying to hold down the fort. Yeah, I wish they would do more with Vixen. She just happens to just be there a little bit, but not in any significant way. She fights Jon Stewart a little and does some cool animal stuff, but that's about it.
Yeah, it's like every time one of these movies, she pops up in one of these movies, I'm like, oh, it's cool that Vixen's in the Justice League. And then she's just like, it's me, Vixen. And then that's basically all they give her to do. And I'm like, could Vixen have a character arc? Could Vixen have like something to do maybe? No? Cool. Yeah, I would love for them to do something with her in these movies. I think it's probably too late for that to happen, but I hold out hope. There's still a couple more. There's two more left. She could be, maybe she's instrumental in Crisis.
She might be. We don't know. There's got to be a reason that they introduce her in any way so that we get to know who Vixen is and what she does. I did think it was a somewhat missed opportunity that Vixen didn't hang out with Green Lantern, because she even mentions, like, oh, my totem thing is like the power ring.
Yes.
I was like, why is she? Now, I do know why Green Lantern goes with Green Arrow goes with Green Lantern, because it is a throwback, I believe, to the famous comic book story titled Green Lantern / Green Arrow Hard Traveling Heroes.
So this is
a comic book series where they go on a road trip across America together.
That sounds like a fun road trip. Bunsen, would you go on that road trip with Green Arrow and Green Lantern?
Does Bunsen like cars?
I don't care for Green Lantern. Bunsen!
Harsh!
Harsh words out of Bunsen. And he does not like cars, because usually when he gets in a car, he's going to get boarded, or he's going to the vet, and he knows that he doesn't like either of those places very much. He likes the couch mostly. He's mostly a sleeping in a sunbeam kind of guy, so he's not a sort of hit the road character.
Not a big road tripper. Now, would Bunsen and Beaker road trip together, do you think?
I think that they would be a very chaotic road trip, because I feel like Beaker would want to stop for a lot of snacks. He'd want to say hello to everybody. Bunsen would just want to sleep. Somebody's got to drive the car. They're not getting to their destination anytime soon, I think, is the problem.
This is unrelated in a lot of ways, but I follow an Instagram account. I think it's called Mr. Kidders. And it's this Instagram account. This guy puts, I think, like 360 or like a GoPro kind of things on his cats.
Oh.
And so when the cats go out in the neighborhood.
Yes, I've seen this one.
You can follow
the cats,
their adventures.
Talk to each other.
Yes.
They're like, meow, 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 meow.
And they climb trees and
which is really funny, because I've always heard that like the cat, like cats meowing is a thing that they like do for humans to like communicate with us. But then I see those videos and they're just chatting away to each other.
They're real talkative. Mr. Kidders talks a lot. I wondered if what would happen if we did that for Beaker and Bunsen, if we put little GoPros on.
Oh my God. A little GoPro. And when I'm like gone for the weekend, I come back, I'm like, what you guys get up to? It's just them like trying to jump to a high surface and not quite making it.
You should start doing that for the Lab Cats Instagram account. I don't want to tell you how to run your social media, but I feel like that would really pop off.
This is a hit. This is a hit idea. But the point that we're trying to make is that Bunsen and Beaker are a lot like Green Arrow and Green Lantern. And they are also best pals. And Bunsen would have never done that to Beaker.
No.
What happened at the end of this movie? Bunsen.
Did not end well. Green Arrow had to make a difficult decision to save the good Green Lantern, who had not gone evil. Let's see, in the chat, Mind the Gap says, Oliver and Hal were friends starting in the 70s. Yeah, I think it's actually a really cool combination. You get the both of the green characters together.
Yeah, the green ones.
And they have a little bit of a different worldview in terms of how they see the world. And so that's kind of an interesting dynamic. So I think that is a cool way to approach stories. Rachel chimes in and says, I think dogs are the more likely animals to go on road trips. That may be the case. Dogs seem to like cars.
Dogs do seem to like my mom's dog, Ralphie. He loves cars.
hanging out the window.
Sometimes she'll call me and she's like, oh, Ralphie's in the back seat. I just went to go get a coffee and I just decided to take him along. So he's just kind of jaunting out on errands. So.
Maybe we need to get a GoPro on Ralphie.
On Ralphie, yeah. He would be down to go on that road trip with with Hal and Oliver.
So let's wrap up our discussion. So what is there anything that we didn't talk about that you wanted to address?
What do we think happened to Adam? Is Adam Strange like Is that the end of Adam Strange, or did he just get teleported somewhere else?
I think he just got sucked up into the Zeta Beam to go somewhere else, because they do that make a mention. They did seem to answer some of our questions that we had about Adam Strange.
Yes, I did appreciate that. I would have loved it to have been in his short.
Would have been helpful.
But here's fine, too.
So he says that he doesn't know why the Zeta Beam is attracted to him, but he has little control of it, which made me think he had some control of it. So I don't really understand that. He also they make mention that Adam Strange has a metagene. So there is something about him that the Zeta Beam senses his metagene. And so that is why the Zeta Beam always seems to find him. So I guess, so I think at the end, Adam Strange is just, he's gotten sucked up by the Zeta. This is another thing I was a little confused about. Was the Zeta Beam being used as a world destruction weapon at that moment? And because Adam Strange like put himself in front of it, the Zeta Beam sucked him up and went away?
I think so. Okay. That was the impression I got. Is that he knew that the Zeta Beams are like real into him, and that if he was out there, the Zeta Beam would just like would just hit him and potentially take him to some new location, so that it would not destroy the planet. Bunsen, you gotta let go of this wire. so that it would. Sorry, I'm distracted. The cat's trying to eat the cord.
They tend to like those. Yes,
he does love that. But yeah, so that was the impression that I got too. Is that that the Zeta Beam just kind of hit him instead of hitting the planet? And if it had hit the planet, it would have destroyed it. But if it hit Adam Strange, I don't know. My guess is it just transports him somewhere.
That's how I saw it.
That's sort of what happened in his special. So I'm assuming that he's on a new fun planet, you know, learning the local customs and stuff now, but battling the local creatures.
Yes. Just like in his showcase short. Adam Strange, the hero, I think, of this here story in this movie. One of the heroes. Really saved the day here. I guess I had a couple of things. One, I thought it was strange that John Stewart is the only person who sees the guardianship crash.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was a little hard to believe that he would be the only one. I get it. Like, he has to crash in the middle of a city,
and he's the only one that's going to go up to it.
Conveniently, the Guardian, burns up, and the evidence of his little blue alien body disappears. So convenient for him. So I did think that was a little strange. I also, in terms of John Stewart, Green Lantern, I really loved his moment right when he was fighting Hal Jordan, and he finally says the Green Lantern Oath very confidently with a real understanding of what it means to be a Green Lantern. I thought that was a really good moment for him. That endeared me to the John Stewart character, who was a character who didn't want the responsibility. He didn't want to be a Green Lantern. He wanted to get that power ring off of him, and now he is really, at the end of the movie, really embrace that as his new role. So I thought that was really great. And the only other thing that I wanted to mention, that I was surprised that this opening title sequence was so short. Some of these Tomorrowverse movies have these very elaborate opening title sequences, like Batman the Long Halloween, where it was like, let me show you Tim Sale's art style and do a little storytelling throughout the opening title sequence. And for this one, it was like, some green stuff, and then the Green Lantern logo, and then the movie starts. I was like, that's it?
Oh, we're done? We're done here?
So I was a little disappointed that this one didn't have some sort of flashy opening title sequence, because I think they've done such a good job with those in the Tomorrowverse movie.
Yeah, the Long Halloween one was, I think, especially really
so
cool.
Good. Yeah. Yeah. So, but you know, Batman takes precedence with these things.
Well, we also know that apparently the Long Halloween wasn't necessarily created to be part of this movie universe, which
that's right. Yes.
Which I felt while watching it, honestly. not to be mean to the other movies, but it felt a lot more sort of self-contained and complete And these, the rest of the Tomorrowverse movies feel very much like they are part of a cinematic universe. And sometimes I end up feeling a little confused while I'm watching it. I'm like, wait a minute. I don't remember what happened with that guy. I guess I should have. I should have looked it up before I started this movie.
Yeah.
You could just go into that Batman movie. All you need to know is Batman's a cool guy. And
yeah.
Start.
And the holidays of the year. That's really all you need to know.
Exactly. Do you know those are holidays?
Yeah.
You're good.
Yeah. So those are important. I guess the only there's one chat comment that we might want to get to before we wrap up. Mind the Gap says Arrow's last episode hints at the same thing for Diggle. He sees something crash in the series finale. So yeah, the Arrowverse for some reason was never, I guess, allowed to do Green Lantern, but they tried to do it with John Diggle, I guess, in the John Stewart role.
I think I like that. Like, the more things change, the more things stay the same, because Smallville always wanted to have Batman and they kept on attempting to have their different versions of Batman, like not working.
Adam Knight
with a K.
Who could do like Kung Fu or something. He was like a martial artist. Yeah.
And then at some point they came to terms with the fact that they were never going to get Batman. They were like, we could get Green Arrow though. He's also a billionaire playboy. So it's like Batman in your face, Batman.
Yeah, it is unfortunate. Cause I think Green Lantern would have been a cool, well, there was a Green Lantern on Stargirl. So they kind of got to do it sort of if you...
Was that in like one of the later seasons?
Yes.
I need to catch up on Stargirl. Yes.
So, well, we need to get to Stargirl to talk about Director Bones or Mr. Bones.
Mr. Bones.
He's not director.
Please, director is my father.
Yeah, so I think if you wanted to connect Stargirl to the Arrowverse, which it kind of is through Crisis... You could justify it as there was a Green Lantern in the Arrowverse, but nice. I wish they had gotten to do more of a Green Lantern in the universe. Well, I guess overall thoughts, Morgan, even if this does not really win you over to Green Lantern, what did you think about this movie?
I thought it was enjoyable. I thought it was like, it's not my favorite of these animated movies that we've watched, but I thought it was better than some of the weaker ones that we've watched. I wish that the plot had been a little bit less convoluted, honestly. Like, I think that they could have streamlined the war backstory a little bit, and they could have maybe streamlined some of those twists and turns so that there's like, it didn't feel like it was like, wait a minute, who did what now? But I thought overall it was like a fun adventure story. I think it was a good introduction to the John Stewart character. I thought he was a fun Green Lantern, getting to see him kind of accept that power and responsibility. That was cool. I don't love Green Lantern, but I still didn't love that they turned Hal Jordan evil and then killed him. That felt really brutal. I was like, even from coming from me, you know, it's gotta be pretty bad if I'm like, whoa, dude, uncool. I didn't like that they killed everyone on Oa. Some of those aliens were cute, and how dare they? But I did like the sort of odd couple dynamic of the characters who had to work together in this one. And I thought that they all kind of played off of each other really, really well, and it was like a fun dynamic with Hawkgirl and Adam Strange and John Stewart and Oliver. I thought that was like a fun foursome that they had for most of the movie and really worked very well. So yeah, overall, I think, you know, this one was better than some of the other ones we watched, and wasn't as great as the Batman one that we just watched. But I think sort of hits somewhere in the middle for me, which, considering I don't really like Green Lantern that much, I think that's pretty good job. They did a pretty good job.
I would take that as a compliment if I was the person who made this movie. I'd be like, she was fine with it. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I enjoyed this movie, even though I didn't understand parts of it. I thought it was a fun space adventure, getting to go to these different places and seeing some really bad, some good guys gone bad, I thought was pretty cool. I actually liked the Hal Jordan Parallax situation, even though I like Hal Jordan as Green Lantern. And I do think he is the greatest of all Green Lanterns. But I didn't mind seeing him go bad and getting to see John Stewart take over and become a really great Green Lantern. So that is something that I enjoyed watching. I thought it was a good, fun space adventure. And so it was a good watch. So if you're interested in Green Lantern, give it a go. I would say see if you can answer some of our questions and come back and report to us and let us know what the answers are. But I think this was a good little space adventure in the Arrowverse. So not quite one of the best Marvelverse movies that we've seen through this marathon. But otherwise, I think if you're a Green Lantern fan, I think you would enjoy parts of it, if not all of it. Also a good introduction to the Ronian Thanagarian War, which has its basis in the comic book. So I actually learned about DC comic mythology through watching these stories that have that conflict in it. So the Tomorrowverse is teaching me things. So I appreciate that. Well, I guess that's going to do it for our overall thoughts. So I think we need to get to some snap judgments.
In the game of snap judgments, each person is presented with two options, but must only choose one. First instincts are recommended and explanations are unnecessary.
Morgan, would you like to give us the snap judgments?
I would love to. Okay. Better navigation system, Waze or the Green Lantern Power Ring?
The Power Ring could not only give you the coordinates, but drive for you. Which I appreciated that. Green Arrow wanted to, you know, he was like, yeah, I can totally fly this ship. And all he had to do was just take a nap while the ring just took over. The ring knew where to go and knew how to get there and just did it. So Waze is great. I use Waze all the time. But I think I'm going to go with the Power Ring on this one because if it can get me there safely and with no problems, that sounds good to me.
That's a win. Yeah, I'd also go with the Power Ring because in this version, it talks and it's a little sassy. So I feel like if I got bored, you know, as I'm driving, I can talk to Waze, but it's not really talking back to me.
Right.
But I could talk to the ring. I could be like, hey, Mr. Ray. Oh, I'm sorry. Just ring. you know, just ask it some snap judgments.
Or you could talk to the ring about his life.
Exactly.
What's his family like?
How's the missus? How are the kids? okay, more villainous Green Lantern who went rogue, Sinestro or Hal Jordan?
Sinestro is normally like the big bad, like he's normally like the really bad guy, but Hal Jordan went crazy town in this one, so I'm gonna go Hal Jordan.
Yeah, I think Hal Jordan was like pretty scary in this one, actually, with all of those rings on his fingers. And he was glowing different colors, both green and yellow. That's a lot.
Yeah, a combination of the Yellow Lanterns and the Green Lanterns.
Yeah, so he's got like multiple powers going on. I wouldn't want to mess with this guy. I'm going to go Hal Jordan on this one.
Is a
scarier, more villainous Green Lantern. Okay. Who would you rather have as a space pal? Green Arrow or Green Lantern?
Green Arrow doesn't seem like somebody who should be in space.
No.
Because I was trying to think about this, and maybe I was thinking about this a little too much. But his arrows, when he shoots them in space,
they shouldn't really go anywhere.
Does that make sense? I'm not really a science person, so I don't know how that would work if you tried to shoot arrows in space. But it seems like gravity maybe would not. I don't know.
Maybe he has special space arrows.
Maybe that would make sense.
He's got all kinds of special arrows, so he could have that. But I still don't think that if I'm in space, if I'm going to space on a mission, I'm taking Green Lantern with me, even though I don't care for him. I'm not going to take the arrow guy with me. I don't feel like that's his strength.
Yeah, Green Lantern has the protective suit. He's got the constructs. He's got the ring that has special powers and navigational powers. I think I would hang
alien friends, so you could go, you know, crash on a different planet with some of his pals.
He knows all the people, and there's like, well, not in this movie, but normally there's a lot of Green Lanterns around the galaxy.
Not in this one, for sure.
They're all dead except for John Stewart, who's going to have to like recreate the Green Lantern Corps.
But I was like, listen, I'm not even a Green Lantern fan, but like, this seems a little insulting to get rid of all the other Green Lanterns except this one guy. It's like, that's not as fun as the original story, I think. I'm just going to go out on the limb.
Crisis came a little too early, where, you know, the purpose of Crisis was to condense the universe into one, so that there was just one of people. So Superman would be the only Kryptonian in the universe. So I guess for Crisis, it came early and they said, nope, John Stewart is the only one that can be.
He's the only Green Lantern. We got rid of all, even Chip.
Even the squirrel looking one.
No. Justice for Chip.
No judgments on your snap judgments. That is going to do it for this episode of Supergirl Radio. If you would like to contact Supergirl Radio, you can post a comment on our website at supergirlradio.com. You can email us at supergirlradio@gmail.com. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on X and Instagram, all at Supergirl Radio. And if you like what we do, we encourage you to give us a rating and write us a review on Apple Podcasts. Supergirl Radio is part of the DC TV Podcasts and Multiverse of Color Networks. And you can hang out with us as we go live and wired on Tuesday nights at 9 p.m. Eastern on the DC TV Podcast YouTube channel and the Supergirl Radio Facebook page if you'd rather watch it over on Facebook. DC TV Podcast also has a T Public store. If you are also in need of new DC TV related or DC related t-shirts, tank tops, sweatshirts, onesies, mugs, notebooks, pillows, or stickers, go to supergirlradio.com and click on the T Public store link at the top of the page.
And since we talked about Green Lantern, Beware My Power, have some Green Lantern designs in the DC TV Podcast Tee Public store, and we'd love to suggest those.
Yeah, we've got some Green Lantern merch in the store, so if you want to go check it out, there's some Green Lantern batteries that are actually the lanterns. I mean, they are the lanterns. But we have some cool Green Lantern merch now in the DC TV Podcast Tee Public store if you need some new stuff. And if you want to become a Legion of a Super Sponsor, we have the ability to do that at patreon.com/supergirlradio. These people help us and support Supergirl Radio through our Patreon. And these people are Michael, Anne Marie, Yvonne, Nicola, Abby, Miriam, Nicole, Brian, Ethan, Danny, Majuba, Zachary, Annie, and Rachel. And we would encourage you to check out the Patreon at patreon.com/supergirlradio if you would like to support us over there. And if you would like to follow up with me outside of Supergirl Radio, you can follow me on the social media platform Vero True Social. I'm over there at Derby Kid. It's probably my favorite social media platform. You would know that I watched Green Lantern Beware My Power because I posted about it on Vero True Social. It's a great way to see what other people are watching and reading and listening to, so it's a really cool way to get recommendations for things. You can also check me out on Instagram. I'm over there at The Derby Kid, and you can check out my personal YouTube channel, youtube.com/duckmilkprod. I also do a travel blog that I need to really get back to. Oh gosh, I've abandoned that thing, but you can find us on social media and YouTube at Oasis Broom if you'd like to check out our travel adventures.
Yeah, you always have good travel stuff when you're off on the road.
Yeah, I usually update it while we're traveling, but I have not really dedicated the time to do stuff when we get home. So I'm going to work on that.
It's always the challenge. you can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Mojotastic, and you can also find me as a co-host on the Legendary Ladies podcast, where this week we are going to be talking about the we're going to be doing a double recording. So if you're a Patreon supporter, this is going to be a fun week for you because you're going to get an episode early. We're talking about the new Maggie Rogers album, and we're also talking about the documentary about Nickelodeon called Quiet on Set. And I don't know which order these episodes are going to come out because next week we'll be talking about the new Taylor Swift album. So we are awash in music. But you should check us out on Patreon. We're at the Legendary Ladies over there. We're also at the Legendary Ladies on YouTube and Instagram and at Legends_podcast on Twitter. So you should follow us wherever we are so that you can always make sure to get the newest episodes when they pop up.
Yeah, it sounds like the Legendary Ladies have a lot going on. Very exciting stuff. Is there already another Taylor Swift album?
She just never stops putting out new albums is the thing. It's just like you think that she's done and she's like, no, I've got a surprise album.
It just feels like maybe there was a last one recently and now there's another one.
I think that the last one was last year. And I do think that like an album a year is a pretty impressive output. She just keeps going. She's unstoppable.
You know what? Good for her. I can't critique the hustle. That's a good work ethic. She seems to like to write songs. Good for her. Well, I think that's going to do it for this episode of Supergirl Radio. But until next time, I'm still Rebecca Johnson.
And I'm still Morgan Glennon. And remember, the real measure of any advanced technology is how intuitive it is to use.
McGurk! I love
not
typing.
Not mess with my Google Docs, Meeksy.
Supergirl Radio is going live every night of the week. How do you like it? Is becoming a human burrito a plus or a minus? I don't know. It does seem snug.
I mean, they say you are what you eat.
Cheer up.
I love that.
So I do a podcast called Supergirl Radio, and one of our segments is Lena Luthor, boardroom or ballroom.
Because really? She looks like a boss in this film.
Nasty Luther, like a different Luther? It's not just Lena being mean?
No. Helen Slater here. So fun to know that you're hosting a podcast called Supergirl Radio.